Starting pitchers shined yesterday. Let's talk about it right now on Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Thursday, April 17th. Michael Hurkum's in the house. What's up?
Adam, I could not sleep last night of this podcast. I get to podcast with Old Dirty Baby.
And finally, there's somebody on this podcast who knows what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I told you, I'm not going to wear out the music. I'm only going to use it on Mondays.
I just want to say that ODB here has been doing BABIP stats since the Atkins was cool. So, I mean, I go to this guy for everything. So, well,
you mean it's not cool?
No, not anymore. I'm sorry, buddy. They have, like, graphing calculators and stuff like that now. So, but
Kirk would know. He's in grad school.
There we go.
He's a busy man. He's on two podcasts. He's in grad school. Send us an email at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast or podcast in the subject line. We'll grade the trade. And, like, 80% of my inbox is grade the trade emails. People love it.
Yes.
So we'll try to do some later. We're talking buy low, sell high today. I asked Herc and Al for some buy low and sell high candidates, and we'll get into that. We'll talk about Nick Franklin. That news came just after we finished podcasting yesterday. Plenty of injuries to get to, but let's start with the stat of the day. In his last 10 starts, Andrew Kastner has an ERA of 0.99. Opposing batters are hitting 175. And this year he's 2-1 with a 1.27 ERA, and he was very good again. Is he going to be better than the Waka, Cingrani, Cole, Gray group?
I don't have him ranked as such. I don't think he will, but I think it's possible, and I think it's very, very close.
I'm going to work on my rankings today, Al, and I think I'm going to move him into top 15 because he was that good at the end of last season. I mean, it all came together for him. He was never a strikeout pitcher until the end of last year, and now he's striking out guys. This is what fantasy owners want.
Well, if you move him into the top 15, now we're talking about Matt Cain,
absolutely.
Matt Latos, Jordan Zimmerman, James Shields.
I think he's up there. I mean, I said it on Monday when Scott was here, and Scott was like, you know, you may be right.
Okay. All right, Herc. So Kastner's off to a great start. Even if you don't think he's that good, you're not going to sell high on him because he could be really, really good.
Yeah, no, I think he could be really good. I think it's entirely possible that he's better than those guys you mentioned. And the thing is, I am a little skeptical still of the strikeouts. He's not getting very many swings and misses so far, even though he's got better than decent strikeout rate. But he is so efficient, so consistently efficient. Throws strikes like there's no tomorrow. Because if you think there's a tomorrow, you might throw more balls.
Right, I would say so. Yeah, you can wait.
Yeah.
But, I was going to jump on that, Al, but thank you for doing it for me.
Yeah, I did it for you.
I'm glad you're raring to go on a Thursday morning.
Well, speaking of that, you know, I get on Twitter this morning, and three consecutive tweets were just like calling us out. In a good-natured way. So I put them in the notes, and today is officially now Call Out Thursday.
All right.
Matt Williams says, I don't want to call you guys out, but can you please stop touting Can you please stop touting Jason Hayward? Hashtag bleh. So right now Hayward is hitting 145 with two home runs and five RBI, and he is a buy-low candidate for Michael Hurkum, so tell us why.
Well, I mean, you know, look what he did last year when he came back from the DL. I mean, he was phenomenal. He was racking up fantasy points. And even though he's only hitting 145 right now, he had 22 fantasy points. I believe it was week one or week two. He had 12 the other week. I mean, you know, he gets on base, and that's huge in fantasy. And you know this guy's not going to hit 145. His biggest thing is he got to stay healthy.
Yeah, well, okay. I got some numbers to help you out here.
Yeah.
Through the end of May last year, that's 2 months, but he did miss about a month with an injury.
Yeah.
But through the end of May last year, Hayward was batting 146 with two home runs and eight RBI. From June 1st to the end of the season, his slash line was great. 294, 373, 495. 495 is not like elite, but it's good.
Absolutely.
12 home runs. But here's the thing. Only 30 RBI last year in that stretch from June 1st to the end of the season.
Hit a lot of leadoff, didn't he?
Well, yeah. That's the thing, but he's still hitting leadoff.
Right.
And he's stolen four bases, which is really good.
Yeah.
But you talk about points, but I'm worried about his roto value.
Runs, though. People are forgetting the runs. That's why he's getting
BJ
his points.
I don't think BJ Evans is going to continue to hit second. It's got to be Simmons at some point. It's a joke. But I want to see Jason Hayward driving runs, and if he continues to bat leadoff, it's not really going to happen. But you're right. He will score more runs.
Yes.
So there is a trade-off.
And I agree with you. I'd rather see him hitting in the middle of the lineup, but I still think he's worth using every week as a leadoff hitter. He'll make up for some of that with the runs, with the steals. Herc points out the late season stats for Hayward 2 years ago. Very good production. And he's 20-4.
Yeah, he's right.
You know, sorry, Matty Shack, but we're going
to
keep touting.
Out. Jason Wood says, I love you guys, but you need to reality check Scott now. 260, 30 home runs, and 22 steals for Springer, maybe in 2016. He struck out a third of his minor league at-bats. And Springer was 1-for-5 with a walk, 2 strikeouts, a run, and he was caught stealing yesterday.
All right, so you know how yesterday I asked you to repeat the word dinger the way you were saying it?
Yeah, I don't really remember how I was saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, no. I have another request. Could you say Springer dinger?
Not until he homers, Al.
What?
Not until he homers.
All right. I'm looking forward to that thing. More reason to look forward to a Springer home run, because I love the way you just kind of hold on to the G just a little bit.
Springer dinger? Like
yeah.
That? All right, fine.
Yeah, he
did it for you.
I made him do it. All right, so reality check. I guess I still need one, because I look at what he's done in the minors, and I understand there's big risk in trying to extrapolate and predict, you know, what he's going to do. But, I mean, I feel like that's being kind of conservative, because Springer was still a 300-ish hitter in the minors, struck out a ton, but consistently very, very high BABIPs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at his first hit last night, it didn't even go halfway up the third base line. But when you've got good speed, you can beat out
He almost beat out a second one.
Yeah, he's probably anxious playing in that game. I mean, he even said he's having fun. So,
all right, well, good. I don't want to reality check George Springer or Alan Scott. I want him to reach those numbers. Matt Goodwin says, "Talk me off the Chase Headley ledge." # Headley Superfan Azer.
This is you, Adam. This is all you, man. You respond.
I think this is stems from, I don't know if Matt listens to our football podcast, but Jamie made me out to be this huge Chase Headley fan because we took him in the 9th round of a 16-team league.
I was going to say, I don't even know what he's talking about, because I feel like I am the super fan.
And you've got Headley in your buy low list, so I will let you talk. My thoughts on Headley is like, he was a good player before 2012 when he hit, 29 home runs or something?
32.
Okay. Before that, he was a good player who struggled at home, was always really good on the road. So I just figured Petco's a little more hitter-friendly now. He'll find a medium between 2011 and 2012 and be a solid third baseman that you don't feel bad about starting. Maybe he's really a great player, but last year I'm kind of dismissing because the meniscus. So,
what about the contract year, too? I mean,
yeah,
a lot of
there
these
are
guys,
a lot
right?
of reasons
yeah.
to like Chase Headley.
Yeah.
He did miss yesterday's game, by the way, with what was that? Like a calf injury? I've got that somewhere in the notes.
I mean,
he's day to day.
I can't talk Matt off the ledge. I mean, I didn't care for him last year. I didn't care for him this year. Not one of my favorite players, as you said, primarily because he's not very good at home. Once he gets traded away from or he leaves San Diego in the offseason, maybe I'll jump on the Headley bandwagon, but not right now.
By the way, for Headley, it's a strained biceps, so that's better than a calf injury. All right, So Al Weiss. Herc's not buying it. Why are you a buy low guy on Headley?
Because I think it'd be really easy to lump last year together with this year and just say he's just nowhere even close to the guy that he was 2 years ago. I think it could just be coincidental. I do think that the meniscus had to have something to do with the decreased production that Headley had last year. Not going to make too much out of 13 games that he's played this year. And the park's kind of an interesting thing, too, because last year was when they brought the right field fence in and making it much, much friendlier for left-handed hitters. So at least his splits against righties, I think, should be better. And I'm willing to give him a chance this year, since last year I'm just sort of riding off. Mm-hmm. Give him a chance this year to show what he can do in those home games.
Yeah, the main reason why I'm pretty convinced that the knee was a big factor last year is because Headley didn't steal any bases. So I think that had to be...
What about the two injuries this year? I mean, he's already had – this is another injury. I mean, it's just one after the other, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, that's discouraging, but they're not huge injuries.
No, but I mean, this is funny because
these two call-out Thursdays or whatever, two of them, were on our buy low, sell high list. Yeah, it's like people like getting our notes before the show.
I sent a big email out to everyone. All right, let's do the injuries, news, and notes before we get into the buy lows and the sell highs. This is part one. Seattle called up Nick Franklin. He DH'd last night. What are your expectations for Nick Franklin?
Higher than they were like 12 hours ago. Because I really, you know, he's barely played outfield, and that was all the early reports were saying that he was going to play mostly outfield. And I thought, okay, maybe he's going to play like every other day or something. But yeah, they get him a rotation and, you know, a little bit of third base is what I heard somewhere. And DH, outfield, it becomes more credible that he really, frankly, could be the super utility guy. And, you know, I like his value as long as he's playing.
Would you want him in a 12-team roto league? Corner infield, middle infield, five outfielders.
Yeah, I would.
Absolutely.
Would you rather have...
Danny Espinosa?
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, that's close, but I think Franklin is off to a great start this year, and Lloyd McClendon said he's going to try and find ways to get him into the lineup because he wants to give other guys rest. So
you'd rather have Franklin?
I think he has more upside than Danny Espinosa.
I think a lot more, yeah.
Would you rather have Ugla or Nick Franklin?
Franklin.
That's a good one. I think I'm going to lead towards Dan Ugla because I'm not totally convinced he's totally done after seeing him hit two homers the other day.
Before I go out and drop someone for Franklin, though, I mean, you might not have a choice. He went for $7 in our 14-team roto or head-to-head categories league yesterday. I want to see how often he's going to play. I want to see it before we just assume. All right, Taijuan Walker has a shoulder impingement. He'll be shut down for about 2 weeks. Then Seattle will have to build him up again, so that sucks. Ryan Braun sat yesterday. Don't know if it was specifically thumb-related.
It was kind of. I mean, right. Reinicke's like, we have to maintain it, so.
Reinicke. it's a good pronunciation.
You know,
here.
This is funny. I love our podcast fans, and during football season, they said I sound like Sid the Sloth from, what's the movie called, Ice Age? And then one of them yesterday said, listen to Baby Bear from Sesame Street. I went and did it. I was rolling on the ground laughing.
That's what you
great call.
Like.
Yes. Great call on Sid the Sloth, though.
I missed my calling. I should be like a voiceover or something
like
that.
This is your step there. All right. Hanley Ramirez was hit by a pitch in the hand. X-rays were negative. Let's hope he gets back soon. What do you think would happen? Would you think they'd call up Guerrero if he goes on the DL and move Gordon to short?
Yeah, actually, I do. I do. Yeah.
Okay. Joe Kelly left his start with hamstring tightness, which sent me running to the waiver wire to pick up Carlos Martinez, only to realize that I was stupid for doing so. So what's going on with the Cardinals rotation?
It looks like Tyler Lyons.
Tyler Lyons, yeah.
That's what they were saying yesterday.
Do you think it's worth picking up Martinez, just thinking maybe – I have no idea how bad this hamstring injury is, but when you saw it happen, holding his hamstring running to first base looked bad for Joe Kelly. You think it's worth picking up Martinez?
Nah, not really. I mean, just this is sort of reminiscent of last year. In fact, very reminiscent of last year when we kept waiting for Martinez to get the call. And then it was Tyler Lyons and, man, there was Waka too, but I think there was somebody else.
Yeah.
That I can't recall that was in that mix. But
you guys are probably going to hate me for saying this, but I think they're going to keep Carlos Martinez in setup for two reasons. They hate moving him back and forth. If he's going into the rotation next time, it's for good. And second, Trevor Rosenthal has had some struggles. And yeah. Mike Matheny was sound concerned the other day. So I think they need a backup closer in case Rosenthal continues to have these drop in velocity. And, you know, he gets up 0-2, but then he's not making the right pitches. So it's a concern.
No, that makes a lot of sense to me. And Matheny has shown that he's willing to change course with his closer. If not the first sign of trouble, definitely the second or the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprised Herc didn't say Rosenthal or something like that. Brad Peacock to join the Houston rotation. He's 5% owned. He's been pretty bad in relief. Should we be adding Brad Peacock?
Sure, with a 5% ownership rate. I want to qualify it because I'm not picking him up, I think, in anything. Certainly not a 12-team mixed league. I'm not even sure I would be doing it in a 14 or 15. But he deserves to be owned in way more than 5% of leagues.
Would you rather have Brad Peacock or Tom Kohler?
Tom Kohler's been pretty darn good to start the season. And you know what? He's like Dylan G to me. Everybody needs a Dylan G in their rotation, and Tom Kohler is that guy for Miami.
Okay, then.
I'd just rather have Dylan G, actually.
But. Yeah, me
too. There's only one per league. You know, supplies are limited. But, yeah, I'd rather have Peacock.
Craig Kimbrell reported no problems with his shoulder after a bullpen session. Cole Calhoun is out 4 to 6 weeks with a bad ligament strain in his ankle. And Terry Collins says Jose Valverde will remain the Mets closer. He's been bad in two straight outings. Herc, I'm going to throw a name at you.
All right.
Tell me, you're a Mets fan. Kyle Farnsworth.
Yeah, I mean, they really like what he's done. He's increased his velocity since spring training, and that's what the Mets are really excited about. He could be the guy if Valverde continues to struggle.
Any other name?
We would love to see Vic Black be the closer, but he's just having too many control problems. And now he's hurt. I don't know if he's back yet pitching in the minors. So I think it was a minor injury, but he went on the DL.
We would love to see Vic Black.
Perk to the Will Ponce, Terry Collins, Sandy Alderson.
All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Cueto and Tanaka. Michael Pineda's velocity was down quite a bit yesterday, but he still had a good outing. Cliff Lee has now given up 40 hits in 27 innings, but he was pretty good last night. So we got these starting pitchers to talk about. But let's go to Michael Hurkum's buy low candidates.
All right.
We'll take off Jason Hayward, and you have four others, and who are they?
All right, so we have buy low, Alan Craig. All right, you're going to love my pronunciation of this name. Xander Bogaerts.
All right.
Hayward, you said, Clay Buchholz, and Shelby Miller.
Okay. Alan Craig. Al, you disagree?
Not entirely. I mean, I know I've been kind of a naysayer this year, but you know, I'm not completely sure that he's still affected by Liz Frank. I mean, it's still, if I'm going to give other players a free pass for 13, 14 games, I think it's only fair to do the same with Craig. So if you can really buy low on him, it's worth the risk. But if you're having to give up something close to what his value was a year or two ago, I'd stay away.
Xander Bogaerts, why?
You know, I watched this kid this spring in a few games, and man, he is a thumper, as I like to call it. When he connects, I mean, that ball has a chance to go every time. I saw him in one game, he had two great line drives that were just picked off on amazing plays. This ball starts falling for Xander Bogaerts. I mean, he's going to be as good as everyone thought he would be in the preseason. There's a lot of talent there.
All right, then. Clay Buchholz. What are you, a Red Sox fan all of a sudden?
No, the thing with Clay Buchholz is, I did the projections last year if he stayed healthy, and he would have had more fantasy points than Clayton Kershaw if he stayed on his current trajectory. Mm-hmm. I think right now he's slowly getting better. I think it was like 2 fantasy points week one, 10 week two, and now he's at 13 in week three. So I think this is a great buy low candidate, the guy that could be an ace.
Agree? Disagree?
I don't agree that Buchholz is going to be an ace or could be an ace. I feel like last year was like a once-in-a-lifetime, everything lining up for him kind of season. But I feel like Buchholz's value now is so depressed after late last season that he is, in fact, a buy low.
All right, Shelby Miller is another buy low for Michael Hurkum.
Yeah, I mean, again, Shelby Miller, a guy that just got so much talent. You know, the Cardinals backed him off at the end of last season, save his arm. You know, probably they were smart about that. You know, he's having some troubles getting hit, maybe walking too many guys to start the season, but that strikeout potential is what fantasy owners like and they're looking at.
Al's buy low candidates, Chase Headley was one of them. The other three are Homer Bailey, Garrett Cole, and Matt Holliday. Homer Bailey.
Homer Bailey, yeah, just off to a bad start, but has improved his consistency. Not as much as I thought, actually. Looking at game logs last year, he had his stretches where he was pretty awful. So not the most consistent pitcher out there, but consistent enough to trust on a weekly basis. And the overall results now for 2-plus years have just been too good to pass up on.
Do you disagree on Homer Bailey, Garrett Cole, or Matt Holliday, Eric?
No, I actually like Matt Holliday because, I mean, he may be getting older, but the guy is just consistent, and he always puts up fantasy points.
Yeah, with Garrett Cole, Al, the only thing I wonder about with Cole is when he first came up, he wasn't striking people out almost by design. He said he just wanted to get outs. Then he started striking everyone out. I don't know who he is. Do you think he's a strikeout pitcher?
Yeah, I think he's a strikeout pitcher. I think he's a superb control pitcher, and I think people are just freaking out a little too much over not even a terrible start, but just disappointing.
Right.
And, he has still, skill-wise, been the guy that he was towards the end of last season.
And Matt Holliday. Yeah, people were kind of down on Matt Holliday, but in the preseason, because he doesn't hit a ton of home runs or anything like that, but he's a solid player that always gets on base and scores a lot of runs.
Exactly.
Well said.
And in a great lineup, and got off to a slow start last year, and I felt like people kind of slept on him a little bit last season and finished very strong. So there's not really any discernible decline going on with him. I think it's just a bad start for Holiday and good time to pick him up.
And he's got as many walks as strikeouts, so that's always a good sign. Nine walks, nine strikeouts, and he homered Tuesday to get into that category. The Cardinals, I think, still can get a lot hotter.
Oh, yeah.
Carpenter hasn't quite gotten there. Holiday, Matt Adams in for average, but not as much power. Alan Craig, obviously.
I mean, look at our list. We have three Cardinals on low. So,
and I think the Rangers hopefully will get a lot hotter. I hope the Padres do.
I mean,
I think they will. Yeah.
Yeah, for the Rangers, you hope Profar comes back a lot sooner. I mean, he's got so much potential.
Let's see who we're selling high on. Here are Herc's sell high candidates: Emilio Bonifacio, Neil Walker, Alexi Ramirez, Scott Kazmir, and Jason Vargas.
I think Al's going to disagree with Vargas here.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but there's another player on this list I'm going to
disagree about Vargas.
Only because I just don't think you're going to be able to sell high on Jason Vargas. Like, I don't think anybody buys it.
The only thing I would tell fantasy owners is that they in 2012, he had 478 fantasy points, so maybe you could sell that to the other guy and hopefully get a good haul for it, but... Yeah, I'm not convinced. I mean, last year he had 289 fantasy points, and in 2011 he had 377. So, he's off to a good start, and it's going to fade.
He's got great matchups. If everything stays on schedule, he's going to be pitching in pitcher's parks for a while. So, I mean, it's funny. He's been a guy that is like the last pitcher, because I picked him up in free agency, right? Yeah. So, like, Vargas about the last pitcher.
See, this is why he's touting
roster.
Vargas.
Because we looked at... But here's the thing, like, there have been a lot of times where there has been somebody out there and my choice was drop Vargas to pick up this guy, and I haven't done it yet because I just want to keep riding out Vargas. I don't have high hopes for him. I don't have, like, super high hopes for him, but I think he's going to be very solid.
But would you like to trade him for, like, if you needed a bat?
I just don't think I can.
Well, you know, why?
What about Alan Craig? If somebody offered you Alan Craig and they want Jason Vargas.
Are you kidding me?
I'm saying, right?
Yes, of course I would trade Vargas for Alan Craig. Absolutely, but... But you know, I can't even get a good deal for Ryan Braun. I'm not going to get one for Jason Vargas.
Well, you know what? I mean, look, I agree with you in general, but when you see how people, I'm trying to think of an example, and I'm just blanking, but there's a ton of them out there of pitchers who are just starting off with low ERAs.
Yeah.
And so people are going sort of nuts over them. If you can just get somebody to buy into Vargas's ERA, why would you necessarily treat him any differently than a player who, like, let's say Henry Mejia, who's got a very strict innings limit? And, you know, say, oh, well, sell high on him so I can have more value later on in the season. Eventually, Vargas is going to be pitching in tougher parks against better lineups. And you might be able to get somebody for him now that you can use all season long. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
If you think you can get great value for him, then yeah, I agree. All right, Emilio. So who do you disagree with, Al?
Oh, Scott Kazmir. The only concern I have about for him is health. And already we've had one scare.
That's why.
The A's are being very careful with them. I like that. If he has to skip a start every now and then, I'm good with that because he's been great every time so far. And I think he could, you know, be a. I feel like if I say Kazmir could be a top 2025 pitcher, I actually feel like that might be softballing it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, that was my only concern. I'm like, hey, his value is sky high right now. Before he blows out his arm or has to go on the DL, get him off your roster.
And as Herc, the Mets fan, would say, we know about Kazmir's injury history.
By the way, speaking of the Mets, I did a radio spot. Steve Phillips was on during the spring. And this is the best thing ever. So we're talking about Kazmir. And he says, you know, I drafted Kazmir thinking he's like talking about in his fantasy league. And he's like, no, in real life.
That's
classic.
Great.
Yeah. So Alexi Ramirez, I want to focus on him. He hit his fourth home run yesterday. He's having just a ridiculous start. 390, four home runs, 14 RBI, 13 runs scored, three steals. You know, the steals are very encouraging because he's 2 years in a row set career highs with 20 and then 30 steals. So he's already got three. I do know, like, look, you can trade him for Tulowitzki or something like that. Obviously, you do it. But would you trade him for someone that you had ranked ahead of him, like Everett Cabrera or Angelton Simmons, or someone that is good but not necessarily great? Or do you think that Alexi Ramirez might be able to be really productive for a whole year?
No, my thing with Alexi Ramirez, he's off to a Brandon Crawford-type start. Remember when Crawford hit 5 home runs and 275 last spring, and then he had 4 home runs the rest of the year? I don't think Ramirez is going to have as big a regression as Brandon Crawford, but I think, like you said, like, hey, if somebody says, I'll give you Cabrera, if somebody gives me Simmons, I can strongly consider it.
Who would you guys rather have, Everett Cabrera, Angelton Simmons, Alexi Ramirez? How would you rank them?
Simmons, Everth, Alexi.
So you would make those trades?
All excellent first names.
Angelton, Everth.
And Alexi.
And Alexi. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, he's just one thing. I wrote this down. He's slugging .661, and his career slugging percentage is .408. I mean, there's a lot of room for him to come back down to earth.
Okay, then. Al Selhayes, Yovani Gallardo. Disagree, Herc?
Oh, my. You want to get into this now? Or you want to read the rest of the list?
No, just go ahead.
Al, go back and listen to the podcast 2 weeks ago with Scott. I mean, we had this conversation in the spring. I've been banging my chest about Yovani all spring. I mean, the guy just puts up fantasy points. Now, I'll give Roto owner something. You know, he's probably going to hurt you with whip down the road. His ERA may get a little high. But the guy, 500 fantasy points 2 years in a row before last year. And like I liked Andrew Kashner at the end of last year, Yovani Gallardo was the same pitcher towards the end of last year. Not as good as Kashner, but he was dominant and getting fantasy points. And look what he's doing to begin this year.
All right, and yeah, and very high on my enoyometer. Enoyometer?
Enoyometer, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. You get that'll be my mispronunciation.
Yeah.
Gallardo, because he makes no sense to me. I cannot figure him out. There's always a pitcher like this, but usually after some period of time, they come back down to earth. Now, the point, Herc, that you raised is that, yeah, prior to last year, Gallardo was a guy that you wanted to start every week. But he hasn't really been that guy, not even like last year, not this year. He's you know, got all the good fantasy stats, but behind that is still a suspect swing and strike rate. He's not throwing strikes at all. There seems to be nothing backing it up. And I think it was either on the podcast or on FBT where I talked about, I mean, there's some way he has to be doing it. And what he is doing is he's getting a lot of called strikes.
Right, right.
And that's there are not many pitchers who can sustain that for very long. So
maybe he's just a nice guy and umps are like, hey, we like Yovani. Let's give him strikes.
Yeah.
Then, I haven't read that, but it could be.
That's right. I have to research that.
Okay, Al's other sell highs are Tim Hudson, Chase Utley, and Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah, I'm surprised how Gaga owners are going over Tim Hudson. I think he's owned in over. Oh, you like that, huh?
No, I just really? I didn't realize that.
Oh, I thought you were Gaga. Okay.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I think owned him more than the 90%. And, you know, I have this.
The only one I really have a question on this list, Al, is Chase Utley, because you're going to have a good backup second baseman if you're going to dump Chase Utley, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be optimal, yeah.
Or you get maybe a low-end second baseman in return. I understand what you're saying. I mean, he's had all these knee problems, and he's maybe due for a decline again. But you need a second baseman if you trade Chase Utley, so that's my only concern and why I probably would hold on to Chase Utley.
Yeah, well, it's going to be hard to replace his per-game performance. There's no question about that. I'll deal with Utley, then maybe we can come back to Hudson.
Well, yeah, sure, but Utley, we always say if you could trade him for Jed Jerko, do it. Would you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
All well, right. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, Nando's in my head right now, so, you know, we got to go with the Jerko train.
I guess so.
So, yeah, you know, and again, you know, we say this a lot, but, you know, when we say buy low, sell high, I mean, a lot of times we're talking about kind of a dramatic, you know, difference in value that you need to have to really pull off the trade. So, yeah, you're not going to trade Chase Utley for, you know, I don't know, Marcus Semien. You know, I mean, you got to get a viable replacement there. And Jerko is a buy low, I think, would be a good fit there.
Tim Hudson.
So Tim Hudson, yeah, 92% ownership rate. That floors me. He's the same guy who – there's a hitter we've been talking about who's 35. I can't remember. Somebody who's really – oh, Uribe, I think.
Oh, Juan Uribe, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hudson I like better than Juan Uribe, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing. We know who Tim Hudson is. He's extremely consistent, about as much so as any pitcher out there. Very reliable, but he just hasn't been a high-end guy in a really, really long time.
No, but there's something to be said for a guy who is reliable and
but if
has a low whip. I didn't realize how consistently low his whip is.
Al, you said why his ownership is high is people know Tim Hudson. I mean, these are the old-time fantasy owners that have known him for years, and, oh, that guy helped me win this championship. I'm going to go pick him up again. Right?
He's a top 50 pitcher in 2012, and that was only 179 innings.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, top?
50.
50. Yeah, but okay. I feel like at that level, it's pretty replaceable. I think 2011, if I'm remembering the year right, was where he really had a lot of value, more than that.
I'll check
but,
for you.
But I feel like he is, based on the ownership rate, the trade questions we're getting, he is being treated as something more than a top 50 pitcher.
All right, then. Good stuff.
And I don't think he is a top 50 pitcher anymore anyway, for whatever that's worth.
Okay. That would be valuable. Let's look at this next category called Pitching In. Some of the best pitching
Charlie
performances
Blackman
from yesterday.
Also sell high.
I said him. Okay. Cliff Lee. Interesting start for Cliff Lee. One walk and 13 strikeouts in 9 innings. Complete game. He took the loss 1-0 to Julio Teheran. But he gave up 11 hits in 9 innings, mostly singles. 10 of them were singles. Julio Teheran, complete game shutout, but only 4 strikeouts, and he's not striking anyone out. 13 strikeouts in 28 innings. Masahiro Tanaka, 8 innings, 2 hits, both bunt singles.
That's your boy, man.
Yeah. No runs, 1 walk, 10 Ks. Johnny Cueto, complete game shutout, 3 hits, no walks, 12 Ks. Ridiculous. Got a 150 ERA. Yu Darvish was very good. Felix Hernandez was very good against each other. Jose Fernandez gave up 3 unearned runs, still has not lost in Marlins Park. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, no walks. And Michael Pineda, interesting start, 6 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. And his ERA is 1. 2-1 with a 1 ERA.
Did he have pine tar on his hand last night? Pine tar free?
I want to bring that up because the velocity was down. The weather was bad. Okay. It was cold. But I don't know if it had anything to do with the pine tar. Because 2 games out of 3 that he's had it.
Alleged pine tar, we should say. So.
Yeah, well, alleged obvious pine tar, something, whatever.
You can't pitch without that dirt.
Did anyone really open your eyes last night?
Johnny Cueto, I mean, it's not just last night, but another dominant start. I have to start maybe thinking of him just in a entirely different echelon. And I already have moved him up in the rankings because I was worried about injury risk and maybe even some decline with Cueto. So I moved him up from, I think, like 40-something. I don't remember exactly, probably around 30, low 20 or upper 20s maybe.
Would you rather have Cueto?
But now I think I have to consider moving him up again soon because he's looking like a different pitcher than he's ever been.
Would you rather have Cueto or Kazmir?
I think you hit the...
Come on, this cannot be a debate.
No, it can.
No, Cueto and Kazmir cannot be a debate.
They both are injury risks.
That's why it's not a debate. If only Cueto were an injury risk, it could be a debate. But Johnny Cueto is like one of the best pitchers in baseball. Not necessarily in fantasy.
But see, this is what I was telling you before, that when I've said that Kazmir's potential top 25 starter, like I feel like that might be underselling him. If you look what he has done since June or July of last year, including this year.
No, you're right. But look what Johnny Cueto's done for most of his career.
Yeah, okay.
He's in no doubt. He's probably my biggest regret right now for not drafting him in any leagues. Because even if he does get hurt, the way you were able to draft Johnny Cueto, it's fine. Like, you withstand that because the rest of your staff is good. He's my biggest regret. He is an ace and has been an ace for several years.
But not like this, okay?
Not like this.
No, to answer your question, okay, yes. I'll go Cueto over Kazmir, but boy, is it close.
Okay, and the strikeouts are way up this year. Like, in his best years, you're talking 230 to 270-ish ERA or 280-ish ERA, but the highest strikeout total was 170 in 217 innings. So I understand that the strikeouts are way up. Do you think those go down?
I mean, I suspect they will, just like I would, I think, with any pitcher or any player that shows some very abrupt change in their skill set. But I'm not completely closing my mind off to the possibility that this is just who he is now.
Give me a pitcher from last night, Herc.
I'm going to mess up his name. Is it Tirahan or Tirahan?
Tirahan, yeah.
I was actually going to put
three mispronunciations.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, we got a running total. What was the over-under for this show?
I didn't set one.
Oh, okay.
I'll go 4.5.
All right. he was going to be on my buy low list. It was a fringe guy. I was like, you know, I think people are starting to cool off on him because I saw his starting percentage going down. And then he comes out and does this last night. I think people just need to relax with him. He's going to be fine in the end. He had a good spring. He's an ace pitcher for the Braves.
He has 13 strikeouts. Cueto has 35 strikeouts. Who ends up with more, Teran or Cueto?
Cueto was dealing yesterday. I mean, when he's healthy, he's an awesome pitcher. I think I go Cueto.
Right now, I'm still going to go Teran, even though obviously it's a big gulf to date. But you know, I still think that he can be the guy that he was from May forward last year, just getting lots of strikeouts. But what I do like about Teran, and this is the argument I made, I know, you know, Scott would press me a lot in March about, you know, why do you value Teran over Waka Cole, those guys. And I just think he has so many different ways that he can succeed. And this is what we saw here in the start against the Phillies and what we've seen so far this year. Is even if the strikeouts aren't there, he gets it done with great control. He gets it done with pop-ups. He gets it done in so many different ways.
Masahiro Tanaka is just, I mean, he's killing it right now.
Not a number three starter.
Yeah, I last week I was debating, do I like Pineda or Tanaka more? I still don't know about Tanaka being this good, because I have this theory that once teams see him for the second time, they'll lay off that splitter more, they'll get to him a little bit. But I don't know. Yesterday was just so good. Then again, the weather was cold and the Cubs are horrible. So Tanaka, potential top 15 starter. I'm going to put the ceiling that high.
Sure.
Think it could happen?
I think it could happen. I think I may have whipped really badly on this one. He looks great so far. I still worry about adjustment later in the year, but I thought the problems would come up front with him in April, May, June.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, no problems.
My thing is with Jose Fernandez, too. I compare these two a lot because you talk about the splitter. I mean, Jose Fernandez has this break just at the end. It looks like it's coming right in there, and then it just tails off. You have that pitch. It doesn't matter if the guy's getting ready for it or is patient. You're still going to swing at it. So
Mike Exisa is one of our baseball bloggers for CBSSports.com, and he also, I think he blogs for River Avenue Blues. And he had a chart of Tanaka's pitch selection. You never know what he is going to throw.
Yes.
Basically, when the count was even, his fastball, his splitter, and his changeup, maybe he threw the exact same percentage of pitches of the exact same amount of times. So he's got like six pitches that he throws, and right now he's just on. He's just killing it. All right, moving on here to four up. Joey Votto, four home runs. Is he back to being a home run hitter?
I think he is, just because I didn't expect a repeat of last year, so he's validating what I expected.
He had off-season knee surgery last year, didn't he?
Yes.
I mean, it seems like a reasonable explanation to me.
Dr. Melchior.
Not that kind of doctor.
There was a tweet that we got yesterday that Scott and I disagreed on. It was like, would you trade McCutcheon? Do you remember this one, Al?
Yeah.
It was McCutcheon for Votto and who?
I don't remember who the other player was.
It's like a good player. And I said yes. Because I don't think that Votto is that far off from McCutcheon. I think Votto is awesome.
I think the great thing the Reds did is moved him into the number two spot in the lineup. That's where you hit your best hitter, and I think that's going to play big for him.
I would rather have McCutcheon than Votto. I'm assuming you guys would as well.
Yes.
But if Votto's going to hit 30 home runs, which isn't out of the question, you know, he's going to be a first-round pick next year for sure, when people were a little hesitant this year.
Yeah.
Eric Young Jr. stole two more bases, 37% owned. Herc, under-owned?
I agree, yes. I mean, in leagues that especially give you two points for a stolen base, I mean, he can rack them up real fast.
Oh, you got to start thinking more Roto, too.
Well, Roto, fine, too, but
yeah. I'm telling you.
I think that's where you got the bigger sales job, though, is in points leagues.
The listeners are going to be like, stop talking about points leagues. Here's a weird stat for you. Four up number three, Justin Morneau. He's batting .354. With two home runs, he had his second home run last night, and he's barely a top 20 first baseman so far. I don't really know why. He's not striking out a lot. He's got three doubles.
What's his numbers at home look like? Are these all home, or are these like split?
No, okay. No, I don't think so. But here's the thing. He only has five runs batted in. I think maybe that could go up based on where he's hitting in the lineup.
Yeah, it seems a little odd given that he's hitting for average.
Exactly.
Just might be a weird thing. But, you know, first base is a deep position. You would think those numbers would get Morneau higher. Ultimately, I think that's where he settles, is around number 20.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to keep it up.
Derek Dietrich, 8% owned. Should he be more owned?
I think so. He's got surprising power.
Yeah, he's got three home runs now, but will he be the second baseman when Furcal gets back?
Yeah, because Furcal go on the DL 2 games into returning. So.
Yeah, that's probably where Dietrich's value mostly lies. But no, he won't. So, yeah, playing time is going to be harder to come by for Dietrich for sure.
Four down. Mark Trumbo went 0-for-4. Is this basically just – he's batting 197 now. He's 3 hits in his last 9 games. It's basically just – the pill you have to swallow with Trumbo.
He's like Mark Reynolds Jr., right? Yeah. I mean, all or nothing hitter.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're going to love his hot streaks and hate his cold streaks.
Evan Longoria went 0-for-4. He's batting .286 with 1 home run and 6 RBI. Anybody worried about Evan Longoria?
Yeah, not at all. Been pretty consistent.
Dexter Fowler, 53% owned. He went 0-for-6. And I don't know if being 6 screwed up his timing or if it's just the coincidence, but Fowler is 3-for-32 since returning from illness. He also has 0 steals this year. He stole 19 in 119 games last year. Better things to come from Fowler?
No. I mean, well, okay, yes, for the fact that here we go again with Dexter Fowler. Again, he's like Mark Trumbo. He's just a streaky player. I mean, his numbers in the end look decent, but he gets them all in bunches. He doesn't spread them out.
That's true. I really doubt how much power he's going to hit for, but then again, the Astros don't really need to do that, him to do that in the leadoff spot, but I expect better than a 205 batting average, a lot better.
Fowler or Sizemore?
Fowler.
I think Sizemore is one of the more overowned players. He's owned like 80% of leagues. Fowler or next guy on our list, Nick Swisher?
Yeah, he's been pretty brutal.
I go Fowler just for the fact stolen bases and, you know, runs some of those stats.
I'm still going to go
see,
Swisher.
I think about Roto people now. See?
Nice word. Yeah. Swisher. Swisher or Morneau?
I'm still going Swisher there, too.
I'll go Morneau.
Let's talk about the fringy starting pitchers. Dylan G was awesome. Jake Odorizzi was okay. Willie Peralta.
Yes.
He's my least favorite player in baseball because I was so vehemently against drafting him in one of my deeper leagues that I co-own with Jamie Eisenberg. And I was like, I don't get it. He's never done anything. What tells you that he's going to be good? And Jamie kept saying, Peralta, we got to draft Peralta. We got to draft Peralta. He's going to break out this year. And like he had a 142 whip last year. And by the way, he was 11-15. That is a lot of decisions, but that's a side note.
Stole some from Jose Quintana, apparently.
Yeah. But Peralta's off to a good start, 2-0 with a 196 ERA. We'll talk about Tyler Skaggs, Travis Wood, and Zach McAllister. So G, Odorizzi, Skaggs, Wood, Peralta, and McAllister. Who are your top three?
All right. I've got to figure out the order here.
Want to talk about Peralta.
Go ahead.
I think I'm to blame for Jamie Eisenberg being all excited about Willie Peralta. So, you know, Peralta was the Brewers' top prospect a few years ago. I mean, they didn't have a great system, but everyone saw the potential. His biggest thing last year was he couldn't control himself when things got out of control. All right, he even admitted his emotions got in the way. Ron Renicki.
Yeah, nice
comeback.
Do I have to cross one off the mispronunciation list?
saw the same thing, and they said he totally came into camp a changed pitcher, and both Renicki and Peralta said the same thing. I mean, both of them were like, "Yeah, I when things go bad, I don't get emotional anymore. I'm in control, so that's good."
How do you like a 1.30 whip?
That's not what he has now, is it?
I don't know what he has now.
That's not good, is it?
Well, could you live with it?
I don't know, but I'm thinking not really.
It's not great, but that was his whip in the second half. And if there's something else there, like I think that's you can live with that. Now, if you got a very, you know.
But he's not a big strikeout guy.
Well, not yet, but he did have 7.6 per nine in the second half. That's not big, but that's average.
A 1.3 whip, that is not good enough.
It's not. But the thing is, I think he can help you a lot in ERA. I think the strikeouts can improve.
Okay.
So I liked him as a breakout guy. Yeah, based on what he did in the second half, wasn't quite there yet, but he was going in the right direction. So I think with more strikeouts, keeping the ball in the park, and if you can shave that whip just down a little bit, you got something.
All right, so rank those pitchers, top three.
All right, G, Skaggs, Peralta.
I like Peralta, G, and Skaggs.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily worried about Skaggs. I think all the damage came in one inning. But just to point out, he's only had one good start out of three, and it was at Houston. at least one great start. But certainly, I mean, you know the upside, so.
I mean, we have to look at the Mets now. I mean, they swept Arizona. So maybe they're better than
We got to look at Arizona. Maybe the worst team in – well, right now the Clash worst of the team Titans. In baseball.
But then I'm a recent convert to Skaggs.
Because the velocity.
The velocity. He's also got a high spin rate, good control. So he looks like a much improved pitcher.
Bullpen stuff. Luke Gregerson blew a save and Matt Lindstrom blew a save. your quick takes on those situations.
So wait, Matt Lindstrom blew a save?
Yeah, but
just making sure I heard that
I think he pitched. He must have allowed an inherited runner to score.
Yeah, actually, you're right. The line's not bad.
And he allowed only one hit in two innings.
With the A situation I wrote this week, Jim Johnson's going to get back in the closer's role. He did the same thing with Grant Balfour a few years ago, and Balfour has been phenomenal ever since he got the closer job back. So I think Jim Johnson's going to eventually be back in that role.
And it's just disappointing because it is another situation where Luke Gregerson hasn't seized the day, and it seems like he's better than that. But but they you know, if they have an excuse to put Johnson back in the role, they will.
And Michael Clato was not good yesterday. Daniel Webb was pretty good. Three innings, one hit, one run, three walks, one strikeout. I kind of feel like he's the guy.
The least of some uninspiring options.
Like, I think Lindstrom might get the next save opportunity, but I'd rather have Webb. And Fernando Rodney blew a save, but that was only his first one, so we'll forgive him. Oh, and Sean Kelly and Adam Warren both recorded saves for the Yankees, but they think they're getting Robertson back next week. More injuries, news, and notes real quick. Curtis Granderson and Chris Young expected back Friday for the Mets. Bartolo Colon right now is expected to make his Saturday start despite back stiffness. Kevin Slowey will replace Brad Hand in the Miami rotation. They're filling in for Jacob Turner, who's on the DL with a shoulder injury. Ike Davis started first base for the Mets yesterday. What the F? Mike Napoli was out. Dustin Pedroia was in, 2-for-6 with a double, two walks, three runs scored, and a steal. And Koji Uehara will be available tonight, most likely. Oh, and Edward Mojica blew a save yesterday. Mark Teixeira could be back Sunday. Chase Headley was out with the biceps. Denard Span could be back this weekend. Bryce Harper expected to play today. Jose Tabata, a Pittsburgh outfielder, left with possibly a mild concussion. They got to get Snyder out of there before we get Polanco up. But when do you think Polanco comes up, guys?
I'm going to say...
Go ahead.
I would say late May.
I was going to say June or July, because if you look when they brought McCutchen and Marte up, it was McCutchen June, Marte July, and they said they want him to see off-speed pitches and hitters counts in the minors, so they're not ready.
Drew Smyly scheduled to start Friday. Cole Hamels could be back next week. Doug Fister could return in early May. Everett Cabrera was back yesterday. Jorge De La Rosa is back in the Colorado rotation with Brett Anderson's injury. Josh Rutledge started at second base. I still think he's got a shot to take over for DJ LeMahieu.
He's got a chance. They really like LeMahieu's defense. He's hitting for average, which is, you know, I think that's probably all they really want him to do.
Well, he can do that.
So I'm less optimistic, but there's a chance.
Mike Moustakas hit his first home run, and Billy Hamilton stole two bases. Who says that?
Hey, somebody dropped him in the editorial league. If you need a third baseman, Mike Moustakas is available.
No kidding.
Yep.
When?
Last night. I think it was. I'm pretty sure that was a league. They dropped him in.
I do need a third baseman. You know who I have in there?
Who do you have?
Chase freaking Headley.
Hey, you know, the Royals got two home runs from their third baseman last night.
Oh, Valencia. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Let's do these quickly. Josh in Akron. I'd like to pick up Springer in a weekly fab league with an $80 budget. How much should I spend? My current outfielders are Harper, Stanton, Moss, Nelson Cruz, Morris, and Swisher.
I'm thinking upper 20s. Heck, 29.
Yep, agreed.
Greg says, hello, BJ, Justin, and Kate.
I don't think we've ever had that one before. Uh-huh. That's good.
Who here is Kate? Who wants to be Kate? I'll be Kate. Everybody loves me. I'm off to a slow start in my league, but I still love my team, and after a strange turn of events, I find myself with far too many viable options in the outfield. 12-team head-to-head points league, my outfielders are Ellsbury, Dominic Brown, Marte, Victorino, Curtis Granderson, Emilio Bonifacio, and George Springer. Now that Victorino's coming back and Springer's coming in, I really need to move at least one. Who do you suggest? And which starting pitcher should I be looking for in return for Marte or Victorino?
That's a lot of questions. I'm going to go the Herc route here and say I feel like Bonifacio is the best sell high. Not that I'd be especially eager to get rid of him because I do like Bonifacio, but just in terms of return for what you can get now versus what you can expect later, I think he'd be the guy.
the Herc route is Emilio. Every time I see that name, I feel like screaming that. But
yeah, I'd go the full Herc route. I went a little ways and then I made a turn.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, the thing with Bonifacio is the thing we were talking about earlier. It was like, what's his true value? I mean, you could trade Jason Vargas, say, here's his 1.64 ERA, but people are going to be like, it's Jason Vargas. I feel it's the same thing with Emilio Bonifacio.
I would trade a higher-end guy for a higher-end player.
Yeah, and just hope Emilio pans out. But, I mean, if you can get something for Emilio, go for it.
I wouldn't even be afraid to trade George Springer. Like, I would trade Springer for Garrett Cole.
It's the year of the Husky, baby, all right? Don't forget that.
Did he go to UConn?
Yeah, he went to UConn. Absolutely.
Who the heck goes to UConn?
Mike Olt, Matt Barnes. Come on now.
Really?
Yes.
He just walked right into that.
They did.
I guess I did.
All right, so you want to know
I know. We got to move on. From Robert.
Sorry, Greg.
Grade the trade. 10 teams category. 10 team categories league. I give up Springer, Victor Martinez, and Cole Hamels. I get Braun and Kemp. This league favors pitching.
Ooh, that's going to be a C-minus for me.
Man, because he has Lee and Tanaka and then nobody else.
I mean, it's potentially an A if Braun and Kemp reach their upsides, but much risk.
I'll give it a B-minus.
Okay. From Mike, grade the trade, 12-team standard league with head-to-head categories. I'm giving up Adam Jones, Howie Kendrick, and Mike Moustakas. Giving up Adam Jones, Howie Kendrick, and Mike Moustakas. Getting Troy Tulowitzki, Adam Eaton, and Jonathan Papelbon.
That is a B-. Or no, I'm sorry. I think I flipped them. No, I didn't. It's a B-.
I'm going to go B+, because I'm not a huge Howie Kendrick fan.
Yeah, me either. From Mike, dear vitamins A, D, and E. Love the show. Could you assess or grade for Adam's Delight the trade? In a points league, 3 outfielders with 3 keepers. I was offered Mike Napoli for Will Myers. I currently have Myers, Braun, Stanton, and Morris, and Justin Smoke is my first baseman.
It's a first base upgrade, but you could do better.
Absolutely.
So, for your delight, we're supposed to grade, so I'll give it a D.
Yep, same here.
We're done for the day. Thank you very much, Michael Hercombe.
Thank you. And ODB, baby.
Yeah, thank you very much, Al Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we're back tomorrow with a little week 4 help. And more of your emails tomorrow. How many games today? Herc, you always know this.
I do not know.
You should.
I
haven't checked
the schedule yet. All right, over under 8.5.
I'm going to go under.
I think it's over. But yeah, Herc's the authority on this.
Let's count. Here we go. What an exciting way to end the show. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games. On Thursday's schedule.
Well, you got to set the over-under for next Thursday show about how many names I'm going to mispronounce. So
okay, we'll
get that
remember
ready,
that. So. See you later, everybody.